Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six. Hey, homeschoolers, today's title is How to Motivate Reluctant Learners. Last week, we talked about how to be a patient mom, and there's nothing like a reluctant learner to try our patience, right? We will discuss reluctant learners in a few minutes, but first, I'd like to invite you to join me at Homeschool Sanity on Facebook. Every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time, we discuss a different topic. I share the best free resources, inspiration, and sanity savers, and I would love to meet you there. Just search for Homeschool Sanity on Facebook. It's time for the teaching tip of the week. Today's tip comes from Dawn Keaton on Periscope. She showed us a monthly cooking kit for kids called Rad Dish. To say that everyone watching her review of these kits was impressed is an understatement. Photos teach kids how to make several dishes step by step. Kits may include helpful cooking tools like an ice cream scoop. There are learning extension activities that go along with each kit on the website. Kits are designed for ages up to 12 and are just $20 a month. Viewers suggested that this would be a fantastic gift idea, and I agree. Thanks so much to Dawn for sharing this tip. You can find the link to Rad Dish and Dawn's handle in the show notes for this episode at homeschoolsanity.com/reluctant learners. This week's Organized Homeschool Challenge is a reader favorite. We will be cleaning out our pantries by making meals with leftover items. There's something about having a clean pantry that makes you feel like life is under control. We will be using some of the steps I describe in my free subscriber ebook, The Once and For All Meal Plan, which you can find at the top of the homepage for psychowith6.com. The first step is quickly going through your pantry to throw out any expired items and set aside any usable goods that you know you won't eat for charity. Work on one shelf at a time and wipe it down after you've emptied it. If you want to take the time to organize the shelves, do it. Otherwise, just purge and wipe down. Once you've replaced the items you're keeping in the pantry, you'll want to make a list of items that aren't staples. For example, you won't list flour, but you would list diced canned tomatoes. I created a form for this purpose for you that you can find at homeschoolsanity.com/reluctant learner. As you're listing the items, you will have an idea of how to use them up. For example, if I saw canned tomatoes, I would write chili next to it. If you don't know what to make to use up an item, leave that section blank across from the item. When you're finished with the pantry, you'll do this with your freezer too. You'll write freezer in the location blank at the top of that form. But don't worry, you don't have to clean out your freezer too unless you have time. You're looking for items that will help you make the meals you noted as you went through your pantry. So, if I see a package of pre-cooked ground beef in my freezer, I will add it to the list. Across from it, I will write chili in parentheses to indicate that I have already found other items needed to make this meal. This process sounds more time-consuming than it is. Set your timer for 15 minutes and see if you can't knock it out. After you've done what you can, thinking of meals to use up pantry and freezer items, it's time to use the power of allrecipes.com. Before you look for recipes, open your recipe box that's on All Recipes. Create an account so you can have one if you don't already. Then add a folder called Pantry Cleanout or whatever you like. When you're done, use the ingredient search, a feature I am crazy about. Simply add the orphaned ingredients you've listed and search for top-rated recipes. Let's say you found canned artichokes in your pantry and chicken in the freezer. Search and you might find a yummy recipe that I can't wait to try called artichoke chicken casserole. Add the recipes you want to your pantry cleanout folder in your recipe box. This is honestly the most fun part of the challenge. Continue with all of your items until you found recipes for them. You'll want to note on your list where you found the recipe. Use AR if you find it on all recipes. Then you're going to make a shopping list and shop. One column of the form is for you to indicate whether you are planning a breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, or dessert recipe. Completing this form will tell you if you need to plan any additional meals for the upcoming week or weeks. You'll also find a column for adding ingredients that you still need to make the recipes. This is perfect if you prefer a written shopping list. But if you want to make a shopping list directly from all recipes, just click on the recipes you're shopping for and click plus shopping list. Doing it this way will require you to check off the items that you already have on hand. If you have the All Recipes iPhone app, you can see the shopping list on your phone. If you have any items on your list that you may already have in your refrigerator, be sure to check. I previously recommended All Recipes menu planner that is available with their paid pro version. I now use Plan to Eat for this purpose. It requires the extra step of importing recipes you like into Plan to Eat, but it's fast and well worth it. The planner and shopping list are a dream to use. The added benefit is that the site and shopping list are available on mobile, so you can be on Android with no problem. I love Plan to Eat so much that I'm an affiliate. What's wonderful is you can give it a test drive for 30 days for free. If you love it, your subscription is as low as $3.25 a month. You can find my affiliate link at homeschoolsanity.com/reluctant learner. Well, what are you waiting for? Purge that pantry. Now for today's topic, reluctant learners. It's one of the first stumbling blocks for new homeschoolers. You've carefully selected curriculum, organized the schoolroom, and you're expecting enthusiasm from the kids to equal yours. But then it doesn't happen. You get open rebellion, passive-aggressive foot-dragging, or just complaining. Unfortunately, veteran homeschoolers experience this too, and it can be very frustrating for mom. You may wonder if homeschooling is just too much effort. Before you call your local school to enroll your unmotivated child, remember that many kids in traditional classrooms are reluctant learners too. You may be dealing with this issue even if you decide to quit homeschooling. Before making a decision, take these three steps. They all begin with I. First, investigate the reason for the reluctance. One of the books that really struck me as a homeschooling mother was the book Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. Ben, as a child, was not a good reader, and one of the reasons he wasn't is because he had an undiagnosed vision problem. Our kids may have a physical limitation that is making it difficult for them to learn whatever subject it is. The second thing that may be going on is your child may have a learning disability of some sort, and there are a variety of them. We're really most familiar with dyslexia, and that can be a big issue affecting a lot of our kids, but there are other disabilities as well that affect our learners. So It could be a math disability. There is such a thing as a math disability. They may have trouble with their handwriting, and it's a real problem that they need help addressing. Then the third thing that we need to investigate is our child's personality. It may be that our child just really actively dislikes a subject, and that's really okay. They may have the kind of personality where they want everything to be fun, and if there is a subject that isn't fun, they're going to really rebel against learning it. Or another personality problem that we've had in our home is that you have a child who gives up easily. Maybe everything comes easily to them except for one thing, and since they have to put in a little extra work, they just want to quit and they don't want to do it. Learning about what the problem is at the root of your child's reluctance will help you to take further steps. The second tip I have for you today, though, is to inspire your child. So it is show your child why they should be learning a certain topic or a certain subject instead of telling them. I want to give you some examples from my own children's lives. I had my son, Sam, learning Spanish, and he was dragging his feet. He was a reluctant learner. I would ask him, "Have you done your Spanish lessons?" No, he wasn't inspired at all to learn. Then we had a student who was a friend of a friend who was from Spain come and stay with us for 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, my son was inspired. He has not only been inspired to learn Spanish, but we have uncovered a real gift that he has for language. It is amazing to our friend's family who is from Spain. Sam then eventually went and stayed with our friends who live in Spain for 3 weeks, and they were so impressed with his Spanish skills. In fact, I would like to do an interview with my son at some point about his tips for learning languages, because he learned so quickly. It was truly inspiring. So, you know, that was a situation where I didn't plan to inspire my child, but circumstances just worked out to inspire him. My second example that I want to share with you is my oldest son and algebra. My son was doing just fine in all of his studies until he came to algebra, and he was just really dragging his feet on using the material. We were using Life of Fred at the time, and he had loved Life of Fred up to that point, but he just wasn't motivated to get his work done. Then he found out that all of his peers who were in school had already completed algebra the year before, and suddenly, he was very interested in getting his algebra homework done. He did not want to fall behind other people. And some of our kids are very motivated by competition and by comparisons with their peers, and we can use that to our advantage. Then my final example was my son, Ben, and tennis. I've written on my blog, psychowith6.com, about how tennis is a real family hobby for us that works perfectly as homeschoolers. And Ben was not just naturally gifted in tennis. It didn't seem like when he first started playing, but because we wouldn't let him play with us, we would always take him to the courts and we would do drills with him, but we wouldn't let him actually play games. We inadvertently turned him into the most motivated tennis player I know. And he's become really, really a great player because he would beg us to play tennis. So you could come up with an activity that you do as a family that requires whatever skill or knowledge it is that you're trying to teach in your homeschool in order to participate. It was another inadvertent way of motivating my children that worked like a charm. Okay, so my tip number three is intensity control. Intensity control. First, help your child feel successful. If your child feels like the material is just too hard, they're going to be reluctant to learn it. None of us likes to do things that we don't feel that we're good at. So here is how you can help him or her feel successful. Choose materials that are beneath their level, maybe just a little bit beneath their level. And it would be great if you could find materials that are not graded on the cover, or maybe a class that isn't specified for a certain age, and put your child into that class or give them that material. And this is what you should say. I'm going to use one of my psychology little tricks here for you. Say to them, I'm not sure if this is too hard for you. Okay, you've already pre-screened it as being well within their abilities, but say, I'm not sure if it's too hard. If it's too hard, I just want you to tell me and we'll find something else. The child will think, oh boy, I don't know, this is going to be too hard for me. And they're going to be a little bit reluctant, but they'll look at it because you've said you'll find something else. And then they're going to think, wow, this is great. And they'll come and tell you, Mom, this was easy for me. And they're going to feel successful, and you can praise them for that. And that is one of the ways that I have gotten my kids to start reading and become an avid reader, even when they were struggling at first. So it works with other subjects as well. All right. But sometimes the intensity doesn't need to be brought down. It needs to be brought up. And if you have an advanced learner or a gifted learner, oftentimes this child will start to drag his or her feet because the material is just not challenging enough. It's boring. And so we have to find ways to help them feel like there's something in this for them. So put them into a challenging class or put them into a competition of some sort. I mean, of course, you're going to want to talk with your child about this and not just do it without their permission. But if you think that this is what is going on with your child, that is my best advice for motivating a reluctant learner who needs to be challenged. Now I want to share the tips my Periscope viewers have made. Laura Marriott of lauramarriott.com suggests giving kids a time frame. If they know how long they'll be expected to work on math, for example, it's a lot easier for them to get busy and get the work done. Brandy of Our Thrifty Home suggests finding something your child enjoys. Give your child lots of hands-on activities. Then reward your child for doing work with something that is especially motivating, something like time with mom or dad. Dawn asked this question. She has a reluctant first grader who has difficulty sitting still. She wonders if he is bored. He is actually doing great with his reading skills, but he doesn't like the phonics instruction. My suggestion to Dawn is to let go of the formal phonics instruction. Because her child is already reading well, I don't think it's very important to focus on formal phonics. And instead, she should focus on those activities that he already enjoys, like reading and being read to. Those skills will give him an increase in his reading ability and will keep him motivated and interested in learning. That is my suggestion for Dawn. Today's action steps are, number one, investigate the reason for reluctance. That's going to give you some tips about how to proceed. Number two, inspire your child. Show them, don't tell them what's in it for them. And number three, control the intensity of the work. You can find the show notes for this episode at homeschoolsanity.com/reluctant learner. Please join me at Psycho with Six for live Periscope broadcasts on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Central. Next week, we'll talk about what to do if your child wants to go to school. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.